Our scripture passage this morning comes from Ecclesiastes, beginning in chapter 11, verse 7. Congregation, this is God's holy and inspired word, so give both the reading and its preaching your careful attention. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near, of which he will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, the strong men are bent, the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and the desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Congregation, we come this morning to our third of the three poems we are looking at in the book of Ecclesiastes. This third poem closes the book, and it's a poem about getting old. And if you're a comedian and you want a good laugh, talk about getting old. Because there is a lot of comedy about getting old. When people of a certain age get together, most of their joking is about how their body doesn't quite work the way it used to. So there is some comedy in this poem as it pictures the aging process. Of course, at some point it's not funny anymore. When you're in and out of the hospital and when you get closer and closer to that time. And so what we have here in this section of Ecclesiastes is inspired advice, how to live in light of the fact that we are growing old and eventually facing death. And the key verse in this section is verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. That's the theme of this poem. While you're in the prime, your prime, before the difficult days come, when you're preoccupied with the pains of your body, and it won't be so easy to think and enjoy things. And then verse 2, and then death comes. And death here is signified, it's pictured by creation metaphors of the lights of the sky, the sun, moon, and stars going out, and then that final storm comes. And so we have a poem about the aging process and then death. And then advice is while you're young, before that time comes, begin to think about your relationship with God. Think about things of God. And then, of course, in light of death. Now, there is some question about the appropriateness of preaching about death with children present. Some say that's not very sensible. And I want you to know that the author here is sensitive to this. Death is described poetically and not physically. And the whole Bible is actually very sensitive to this. That there's not a morbid curiosity about death or the death process. But many of our concerns about children are more modern sensibilities, because the Bible was not only written to adults. The Bible was written to children too. And everything it says about aging and death, it was expected that children are listening. They're hearing this word. So we should not be oversensitive more than God himself is about what our children can know. As a matter of fact, some of you may remember a time in our country when many Christian children went to bed at night. They said a certain poem. Do you remember? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, O Lord, my soul to keep. And if what? And if I die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul to take. So they were not too uncomfortable with the idea in those days, and we shouldn't be either. And so moving from verse 2 to verse 3, we begin with a metaphorical poem about aging, verses 3 through 5. The first poem we looked at 2 weeks ago was a structure called chiasm. This is the idea we talked about where the first verse and the last verse matched, and the second verse in the poem and the second to last verse matched. And then last week we looked at a poem sort of like antiphony, where you had a positive and then a negative, then a positive about the events of life that God brings about, good and bad. This poem is structured differently, and it's brilliant in its own right because of its brilliant imagery. It uses metaphors to describe every aspect of the aging process. And like I said, it is somewhat comical the way it's described. There's a few metaphors here that we're not sure what they mean, but let's go through it. Verse 3, the keepers of the house tremble. So remember God while you're young, before the keepers of the house tremble, or the guardians of the house shake in terror. And that would be a picture of, as you age, your limbs begin to shake. And then it says, and before the time when strong men stoop. As you age, you're not quite as upright as you once were. And then the grinders cease. Well, you know what that means, right? You lose your teeth, and you stop eating chewable food. And then things that look through windows grow dim. Now, you children know what that means. Eyesight. Your eyesight begins to grow dim. Verse 4, the sound of grinding fades. Everything here in verse 4 refers to hearing loss. You cannot hear the things as well as you used to hear. Verse 5, you're afraid of heights. The heights now are a cause of terror. It's also easier to fall, and thus you're more scared of how defenseless you are on your own. And then before the almond tree blossoms. Children in Israel, when an almond tree would blossom, the flowers would be white. And so this is depicting white hair. Don't look around right now to anyone. As you get older. Then there's a phrase that no commentary really understands what it means. And it's, the grasshopper is a burden. Or some translations, the grasshopper drags himself along. I don't know what it means, but it sounds awful, doesn't it? The next one is desire fades. Now, literally, it's the capybara is ineffective. That's a more literal translation. The caper was a bush in Israel and around Palestine, and the capybara was the fruit from the bush, and it was used as an aphrodisiac. And that is why the NIV gets it when it says, desire is no longer stirred. We'll leave that one for the adults today. Now, the end of verse 5 through verse 7 then depicts death. First, verse 5, before you end up in your eternal home, mourners are at your funeral, as it lists mourners here. Then verse 6 brings back those metaphors, those pictures, before the silver cord and the golden bowl breaks. This is an expensive lampstand that breaks and there's no longer light. And light often in the Bible is a metaphor for life. And then before the pitcher and the wheel breaks. Imagine a well. The pitcher of the well shatters. And so that which brings up the water is shatters. And then the pulley to bring up the pitcher also breaks. So there's no way to get water, and water is often, again, a symbol of life. So it's a symbolic way of describing death. And then verse 7, there's a decreation. We go back to where we started. We are brought back to God. As man was created from the dust of the ground, his body goes back into the ground. His soul returns to God. And as we've explained before, the book of Ecclesiastes is a commentary on Genesis 3. When God cursed the world and man because of our rebellion, and this is the result of the curse. Man goes back into the ground, and the spirit returns back to God. Now that I've thoroughly depressed you, let's look at the three responses in our passage, what to do in light of this reality. And the first response is found back in chapter 11, beginning in verse 7. And the first one is to enjoy life while you can. Verse 7, life is sweet. It's not meaning life doesn't have problems, but life is better than no life, is the idea. And so verse 8, rejoice in the time you've been given. It won't always be light. You won't always be alive, so rejoice in the time you have on this earth. Verse 9, follow your heart. This is not a negative thing. Sometimes we say, don't follow your heart. This is the idea of follow, do what, have fun, enjoy life. Do what is good and appreciate it while you can. And the rest of verse 9, for you will be held accountable for these things. He's not saying you'll be judged for enjoying sinful things in life, which there's truth to that. The idea here is life is a gift and you should be thankful. And if you refuse to be thankful, you will be judged for it. Even in the Jewish Talmud, there's a verse that says, everyone must give an account before God of all the good things one saw in life and did not enjoy or refused to be thankful for. And in Romans 1, when it describes the characteristics of unbelievers, the chief characteristic above all else is they refused to give thanks. And so the idea is knowing we're going to die, knowing we all have a brief time in life, be thankful for what you have and the time you've been given. Enjoy what God has given you. And so he goes on in that idea. Verse 10, remove sorrow and unpleasantness from you. The idea is do not be anxious about your future. You can't do anything about it anyways. And so life is vanity here. Here the idea is fleeting. Life is short, and so enjoy it while it lasts. This is not to deny suffering in life, as if you have to act like you're not suffering. But the good things you do have, appreciate them and be thankful, because life can end any moment and any day. I mean, a little food is better than no food, right? And so if you have a little food, at least appreciate the little food, is the point. Now, this doesn't only apply to life in general, but even to church life. Church life is never perfect. There are always problems. But enjoy one another. Enjoy what we have. Enjoy that we can worship freely. The things God has given us, be thankful for. Now, sometimes it's difficult to be thankful because, after all, we are modern Americans and we are all a bit spoiled. You know, it's always funny that people complain about the heat that they're never in because we live in air conditioning almost 24/7. And yet we are a bit spoiled as Americans. But what's really important is to remember who you are and what you deserved. In other words, if you go to the ocean and you look at boats and you look at a beautiful yacht and next to the lot you see a very small, ratty tugboat, and you say, I don't want to go in that tugboat, I want to go on the yacht. There is nothing nice about that tugboat that I would enjoy. What about if you were drowning? Would you care too much if it was a yacht or a tugboat that drew you out of the water and put you in the boat? You see, it matters what you think about yourself and what you deserve. If you're drowning, all of a sudden, that tugboat is something. And that's something to be very thankful for. Well, we were all drowning in sin, and God saved us. And so whatever we have in life, we do not deserve. And even what little we have is that tugboat we can be thankful for compared to where we were. And so the first application of this reality, this poem, is to be appreciative of what you have while you have it. The second application is the theme verse. Do not put off God until you are old. Young people, life moves quickly, doesn't it? And you'll know that as you finish school and you'll say, I can't believe school's over. And then you'll go off to college and you'll start work, and a few years later, I can't believe we're done already. And you keep saying that and keep saying that. Life moves quickly. And so the author of Ecclesiastes says, while you're young, think about your relationship with God now. You do not know how much time you have. Don't put it off. And then the third response to our poem is, as Christians, do not live in the fear of death or in the fear of this process. Christ came, one of the reasons is to take away the fear of death. Before the gospel, death meant judgment. It was the step that led you to the next one, which would be judgment. But Christ came to take away death, eternal death, and because he experienced God's judgment in our place, death for us is not the step to judgment. It's the step to full and final salvation. And so you have the first stage of life is in this life, and then when we die, there's the intermediate stage where our soul goes to be with God and our body rests in the ground. And then that third stage is when Christ returns, and it's even better when we're given new bodies to be with Christ and one another forever. So it only keeps getting better from this life. And there's great freedom in not fearing death. If you want to know the secret to enjoying life now, it's not fearing death. And then you know every day is a gift. And if it ends, it ends. But we enjoy it while we can. And we know we don't have to cling to it because we fear death. We know everything only gets better. And that's really the key to enjoy life and people now. Now, I mentioned how this poem is brilliant in these metaphors. But this poem is brilliant on another level, because it really works on two different levels. And if you read the rest of the Bible, you'll see this. On one level, it describes the aging process. But on another level, it describes the end of the world. Because these metaphors are used throughout the Bible for the end of the world. For example, the sun and the moons and the moon and the stars fade and their light goes out. Here it's described on one level as the end of our lives. But in Revelation, that same description is used for the end of the world, the lights of the sky going out. In Revelation, the storm comes is a description of the end of the world. Here it's a description also of our own personal death. The grinders of the mill stopped. On one level, it's a description of our teeth falling out. But remember in Matthew how the return of Christ is described? There are grinders, two women will be grinding at the mill. And then also the sounds of the birds are heard, the birds of prey, in our passage we read. And yet in Isaiah, the end of the world is described as the birds of prey appear. And so there's a twofold application of this poem and its imagery. And the point is, whether you live a long time or not, we all end up at the same place. The world will end and we all stand before God. And so the answer to this dilemma is to make sure while you have life to do your business with God. Make sure your sins are taken care of before you meet God. And the only way to do that is to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. Make sure you are right with God through the cross before that time comes. Admit your sin and your need for a Savior. And then when you're forgiven, you know that when you stand before God, your sins are all covered. And it's His righteousness that God looks at, representing you. And then also, knowing how brief life is and it's fleeting, be a thankful people. Be thankful for what you have every day, whether it's a lot or a little. The very fact that you have it is a gift of God. Be thankful for the people in your life, even if they cause struggle. Be thankful for the circumstances, because God is behind it all. And at the end of it, for us, it only gets better in the life to come. So may we be a thankful people in light of death and in light of what Christ has done. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this last poem we could look at in Ecclesiastes, for the inspired counsel to us. May we heed it carefully. And may we be a thankful people to enjoy what we have and not fear what's coming. For we know for us, death is only the first stage of glorious things because of our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.